Glory to you, God, whose power working in us is always doing more than we could ask for or even imagine. Amen. During the summer, many parishioners and their families are on vacation, away from home and church, and our attendance fluctuates. Even the 10 a.m. choir is on vacation, and their section is empty except for Anita. Thank you, Anita, for being here. We have many, many parishioners who do come regularly to church, and many who attend only on Easter and Christmas. I bring this up because I read something the other day that really, really surprised me. This was written in the year 734 by the Venerable Bede of England. Observance and devout sanctification of God has been so long absent from nearly all laymen of our province as to be almost foreign to it, unless at the Lord's Nativity, Epiphany, and Easter, though they are blameless people of chaste conduct, boys and girls, young men and maidens, old men and women, who without a grain of doubt could participate in the celestial mysteries every Sunday. The author of this article goes on to say that churches are sometimes half full and at other periods in time packed. And it appears that it is cyclical, as we heard in 734. In the 50s and 60s, this church was absolutely full on a Sunday morning. The chapel was too small. 50 years ago, stores and malls were not open on a Sunday. There were no soccer or youth baseball games or club cheer practices. My Trader Joe's opens at 8, 7 days a week. We can buy merchandise online at any hour, check our emails, and text anyone, anywhere, at any time, even now during church. So I dare you to do a selfie of yourself in church right now and post it. Anyone with a selfie stick and we all can gather. So clergy, like me, ask ourselves, are we being relevant with the world the way it is? Are we meeting the needs of those we serve today? Are we providing the inspiration and spiritual tools to be in the world? Many say, I am spiritual but not religious, and do not go to church and say they do not need church. Thank you for being here as we try to figure out together how to be church in the 21st century and witness the peace of Christ the world cannot give. How do we be church and figure out what the gospel says each week and live it? For instance, how do you relate to this quaint passage from the gospel? Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. How do you relate to your earthly possessions? Now, people breaking into your car, home, or office are still relevant concerns. But the greatest threat, actually, it seems, to our earthly wealth might be stock market or currency fluctuations, runaway taxes, failed IPOs, litigation, natural disasters. And since 9/11, we know of the possibility of chemical, biological, or nuclear terrorism. And weekly, the news of a terrorist act. But the challenge is not to fear. God's good pleasure is to give us what does not fail or fade. Another gospel statement, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I'm afraid the world believes the opposite. The world tells us to find something we love and seek fulfillment through expensive possessions and adventures. Yet, it is the effort of people helping people that leads to a life that is meaningful, that gives joy and peace. Viktor Frankl, a psychologist, studied the survivors of the concentration camps in Germany. Those who survived related to other prisoners, shared their meager food with one another, and did not hoard any of the scraps. To keep love and life flowing is to live life as participation. You are here, and you have shown up to participate in God's grace through the presence of one another and through the many parts of this worship service that feeds us spiritually, including this sermon, hopefully. Each week, someone preaches. Someone tries to break open the words of the Sunday readings to preach a message we hope makes a difference. We hope it inspires us to love God, love others, and serve the world. I rely on God to help me preach. Therefore, the beginning of the gospel really helped me. Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus said, do not be afraid many times in Scripture, many times to his followers who often just did not get it and became anxious over all kinds of things. But today, we hear these followers addressed with an intimate expression, little flock. God knows we basically feel small at times in this very complex world, overwhelmed with all that we hear through the news, maybe even anxious for all that is required of us. And I was a little anxious preparing for this morning because it had been 4 weeks since I last preached, and I could tell I was feeling out of the groove. But should I even be in a groove? And I said to myself, no. Because it is one of the messages of this gospel. Do not be in a groove, but have a certain kind of alertness, a certain readiness to be surprised by God, coming to us at times and ways we least expect. At the staff meeting Wednesday morning and at the ministry council meeting Wednesday night, today's gospel was used for biblical reflection. We do the same to start our vestry meetings. We use a passage from Scripture And then the invitation is to share what struck you and why. What line or phrase or sentence? So it is inspiring and surprising at times to hear our very different perspectives, little God stories from one another. And for me, there were three things that really moved my heart as I read this gospel. I have mentioned two of them. Do not be afraid, little flock. And for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And with this second phrase, I studied the commentaries on this passage. And I learned that in this passage from Luke, the pronoun your, Y-O-U-R, is not singular but plural. In Matthew's gospel of the same passage, it is singular. But in the Greek, in this gospel from Luke, the Greek form of the word your is plural. Therefore, we are not just talking about our individual possessions or attitudes. We are talking about some jointly held treasure that God gives to all of us. That the kingdom of God is on earth and it is happening now. It is even more challenging to think. Therefore, the word heart in this passage is in the plural also. Our heart is jointly held. That really stretched me and reminded me of a passage from Corinthians. We are all members of the body of Christ. So after learning that the word your and treasure and heart are in the plural, jointly held, our task, our vocation is truly to live as one. That's huge. We are called upon to learn to think in terms of a commonly held desire of our joined hearts. Not so much in terms of each of our own individual desires. That's a stretch. Yet, an example of what is commonly held, I believe we all pray for peace on earth. Yet everyone on our planet does not seek it. We have a long way to go to live as if we are all one and the same, loved equally by God. Our forefathers wrote in our Declaration of Independence that they believe that all men are created equal and have a right to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Which leads me to the third message of this gospel that struck me. Be alert. Be prepared. For we do not know when and how God comes to live in readiness for Christ's return. Jesus, in this parable, said we are to be ready, observant, alert, during the darkest part of the night, in the middle of the night, just before dawn. In other words, pay attention in those moments that you feel darkness and that something is unbearable. God comes in those moments, in ways we least expect. Henry Nouwen wrote, each day holds a surprise, but only if we expect it can we see, hear, or feel it when it comes to us. Let's not be afraid to receive each day's surprise, whether it comes to us as sorrow or as joy. It will open a new place in our hearts, a place where we can welcome new friends and celebrate more fully our shared humanity. In other words, life as participation and readiness. But we cannot always be on high alert. We do not need to be fixated or frenzied, wondering how on earth can we always be in ready mode as God comes, because actually it is simple. God is already here in every person you meet, deep within you, and all that you are about. So our challenge is to pay attention, not get into a rut or a groove, but allow for the new, to have an orientation toward the whole of life as abundant gift from a generous God, a gift, therefore, that can be given away, is meant to be shared, because we are all in the plural, held together in God. So we can position ourselves to be surprised, because it is not about striving, but about receiving the gift of life. As I said earlier, the staff and the ministry council used this passage for reflection as we started our meetings. And one of the insights that has stayed with me is this. Speaking of how to be ready or alert for God's coming, what about if the question were posed in this way? How would you live your life differently if you were told you have 1 year to live, 1 month, 1 week, 1 day? Every time before I preside at Mass or celebrate Holy Communion, as I'm putting on the stole and chasuble, every time I pray, help me, God, to celebrate this Eucharist as if it were my first, as if it were my last, as if it were my only. This is the first day of the rest of your life, our life together. May you live it to the full, be ready to be surprised by God, and take nothing for granted. Amen.